When New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio releases his executive budget tomorrow, it will include more than $54 million in funding for new mental health programs for the city. The mayor's been very open about his experiences having an alcoholic father who committed suicide while battling cancer. His wife, New York's First Lady Shirlane McRae, has also been open about her family's experience. She announced the proposed funding for new mental health initiatives yesterday and is spearheading New York's efforts and joins us from NPR New York. Shirlane McRae, welcome.
Hello, Robin. I'm so happy to be talking to you today.
Well, terrific to speak with you. And tell our national audience what many New Yorkers already know, how personal this is for you. Your own parents, a story that may be familiar to many, suffered from depression.
That's right. Both of my parents suffered from depression at times. And our own daughter came to us and said that she had been diagnosed with depression, anxiety, and addiction disorders. And so this issue is so personal to me, and I'm surprised about how pervasive it is. When I tried to find services for her, it was very difficult. And in the process of doing so, I realized that there are so many families out there who are in a position like I was, mm-hmm. and with far fewer resources, and how hard it must be for them. It made the issue that started out as personal something that I felt like I had to do something about to help other people.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Kiara. She went public in 2013. How old was she then?
Oh, goodness.
Let's do the math.
And I'm the mother. How old was she that year?
About 18?
It was, 2 years ago. Yeah, she was 18.
18. Well, and that's pretty extraordinary because she chose YouTube. And so let's just listen to a little bit of her speaking.
I've had depression, like clinical depression, for like my entire adolescence. And so that's been something that I've always dealt with or not known how to deal with. It made it easier, like the more I drank and did drugs, to share some common ground with people that I wouldn't have. It didn't start out as like a huge thing for me, but then it became a really huge thing for me.
Now, Shirlane McRae, first of all, is that difficult still to hear your daughter speaking about not just suffering from depression, but using, as many do, drugs and alcohol to try to mask it?
Yes. It's very painful.
Yeah. But she has gone into rehabilitation, and she was talking about it there. One of the things you talk about is how when you were coming up, your parents, a mother who was a daughter of immigrants and a dad who was a World War II veteran, didn't
talk about depression. I don't think we had the language. We didn't have the vocabulary to even talk about it. It was something, I don't know, like people just thought, oh, they're just sad and they just need to get over it, you know, and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and keep working.
Well, and so now you have young people like your daughter feeling that maybe they can, others maybe not. But what was that like for a family, for a daughter to go public with something like that?
It was a big decision, but it was a decision she made actually very quickly, and she was very decisive about it. I think that she's an amazing young woman. She's brave. She's courageous. She went through so much, but I think what she took out of it is that she wanted to help other young people who are in her position.
Yeah.
And I greatly admire her for that.
Yeah. Well, and so, you've said in the past that in your case, as a child of people struggling with depression, there was just always this sense of what's going on? Why aren't they speaking to us? Here you have a daughter stepping up very, very publicly. But can you explain, she said clinical depression. You know, there are still people who think, as you said, people who are just sad occasionally. What is that?
Well, it's actually kind of hard for me to describe. I think it manifests differently in different people. One thing I found out as I was delving into the subject is that onset of symptoms actually usually manifests before the age of 18. Mm-hmm. I think the average age is 14. So I encourage parents who see a personality change in their child, anxiety or irritability chronically, that they trust their instincts and get help. Talk to professionals about it.
Well, and now you're also going to be helping people across the city with more money being invested in things like mental health clinics at more than 80 schools, victims advocates at police precincts, mental health services at homeless shelters, art therapy for young people at the jail at Rikers Island, more therapists for homeless kids. Tell us more where that money's going.
Well, it's so important for us to act early and make these interventions and make treatment accessible, especially when it comes to children. I mean, children walk into school with so much baggage. They can be hungry. Their parents can be fighting at home. There can be violence, and untreated mental health issues, whether it's trauma or something else, are obstacles to learning and create behavior patterns that will last throughout their life. If that's something that we can intervene in and something that we can treat, and all of these things are quite treatable, then children can actually live very full, productive, and happy lives. So that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to act early, and where we can't act early, you know, treat symptoms that we see in people where we have access to them, whether it's in jail or prison or anywhere else, the homeless shelters, because we know that people are going through severe trauma in those locations.
Well, but what would you say to people who might say, but isn't this more the government as babysitter? This isn't the job of the government and my taxpayer money to put apart broken families. What would you say to them?
I would say that they underestimate the scope and scale of this problem. Mental health challenges affect so much of our population. In New York State, we estimate 1 in 4 adults have a diagnosable mental health challenge. That's 1 in 4. And across America, the number is 1 in 5 will experience a mental health challenge in any given year. Now, that means every family is affected. If this was the flu, it would be a crisis, and we would be all up in arms. And the economic impact of this is, you know, lost days at work. This is our hospitals are overwhelmed with people who enter and have addiction issues. So we're paying for this.
Yeah, either way you're paying.
One way or another.
Right. Well, last question. You are Black. Your husband's white. Your kid's biracial. Your son, he of the huge, beautiful Afro, has talked about, and your husband has talked about, the challenges your son has faced as a biracial teen. In this time when there is a national convulsion over race, and there in New York you had an incident in Staten Island, will there be any kind of mental health care attendant to race and issues around the impact of maybe racism on young people?
I think that race is a factor, or ethnicity is a factor, but so are so many other factors. And I think that income is the biggest factor above all. Although mental health affects all of us, those who are at the bottom of the economic ladder really have the fewest options available to them and have the toughest time.
Yeah. That's Shirley McRae, First Lady of New York City, about to spearhead their new program, investing money in more mental health programs across the city. They hope for it to be a model across the country. Shirley, thank you so much for speaking to us about it.
Thank you, Robin.